After that, since I was hardly 45 to 46 years, so I took up a job with one of the army organizations for 5 years and served as their security manager. After 5 years, I gave up that job because it was a contract of 5 years, and then I joined this private security company for security duties in Islamabad and Rawalpindi. I won't say contract, but in that unwritten law that even after retirement, you remain associated with the army. And lately we had learned that they may ask for volunteers of retired army people to come back. And there's no harm. I would definitely, if they ask, I would go. Because that is, in fact, it's understood. In fact, if even a war breaks out, immediately we are supposed to put on the uniform and reach the nearest place.
After gaining its independence from India in 1947, Pakistan inherited a military force which was in disarray and in dire need of complete reconstruction. But it must be said that even that seemingly small military has played a very important role in the political history of Pakistan. Such that General Ayub Khan for 11 years, Yahya Khan for 2, General Zia-ul-Haq for 11, and Parviz Musharraf for 9 years managed to keep the entirety of the newly sovereign nation under their own control. All in all, these 33 years represent the short life of democracy in Pakistan, and with it, the absence of political parties and politicians from the political arena.
Actually, if you look back in the entire 60 years of our independent life, army has been called in by the politicians to clear all the wrongdoings which they had already committed. Army has been in the government thrice, as far as I remember, under Ayub Khan, then by General Zia-ul-Haq, and then by Parvez Musharraf. Each of the time they were forced by the politicians and the political parties to take over the government. Maybe they never wanted that this tenure of the government should be beyond a few years, but it always extended till the time that the people had to raise their voice against the army rule, and that's how it usually ends. Basically, I'm of this is my firm belief that army has never come in by itself trying to grab the power from the politicians and taking over the government. It has always been called in.
The attack on the World Trade Center and its subsequent repercussions aimed against the Taliban has proved to be an advent of extreme and extraordinary proportions, reversing Pervez Musharraf's international and political alliances. There was a 180-degree turn in policies from being the principal supporter of the Taliban to becoming one of America's most ardent and loyal allies in the war against terrorism.
How Taliban were formed and how they were pushed in and who trained, but this is not an easy question to be answered by people like me. I have never been associated with the battle in Afghanistan. I have never served in such a... But what I believe that except for facilitation, that is because the area, we were more of a launching pad for all activities in Afghanistan. for Americans, for all other people who were fighting the battle against Afghanistan, Russians. So that is the maximum Pakistan of armed forces or say CIA or ISA could have been involved, nothing more than it. If they are, then it is, I can't answer.
In the aftermath of the September 11 attacks, American antagonism found its adversary in what was now being called the battle against terrorism. But the truth of the matter was that this was to be a pretext under which existing geographical boundaries in the Middle East region, and in particular the world of Islam, were to take new formations. The intended goal of the new design was to divide Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iran along their old tribal lines. This new placing foresaw the settlement of the Kurd and Baluchi tribes in Iraq and Iran, while Pakistan would be divided up through religious and political movements, seeking self-autonomy, and in the final curtain call, Afghanistan too would become a wholly Pashtun-controlled region.
Pakistani Taliban is rather an relatively new term. Previously, we had only known about the Taliban who had gone into Afghanistan in the latter part of the battle against Russia and had then formed a government which was legally recognized by Pakistan and a few countries. So they in fact gave a new type of government strictly governed by Islamic laws in Afghanistan, and they were successfully running it.
As the war has begun to reach new heights, the armed forces have started to lose patience with being constantly in active opposition to the Taliban forces. The problem is especially annoying because of the government's position vis-a-vis the terrain cleared from the Taliban, as it has increasingly become evident that the government fails to maintain the areas supposedly wiped off Taliban presence for more than a short period of time before they become once again infiltrated by Taliban fighters. This has been the trend that has caused an elongation of military operations in mostly insurmountable and rugged mountainous terrain.
Unless this 9/11 episode happened and the Americans came in to Afghanistan and fought actively against the previously Al-Qaeda and then Taliban. Now, what we have seen in Pakistan, the so-called Pakistani Taliban, they have done nothing except destruction in the various areas of Northwest Frontier Province, which includes Waziristan and now Swat as we see it, and Dir, Bajor, etc. So what we have seen, the people, the so-called Pakistani Taliban, they are nor the fighters, nor reformers, nor delivering any good service to the religion.
The war against the Taliban goes on, as does financial backup for the Pakistani-based Taliban at an unofficial level, while yesterday's allies have no desire to disclose the measure and amount of such aid. Ongoing relations with religious bases and schools, which have been steadfast in training a new generation of Taliban and giving financial aid to mercenary groups, which can be traced back to retired ISI officials and high-ranking military personnel, are all reminiscent of the fact that Pakistan's internal tension and conflicts are largely affected by and dependent on the availability of financial backup. The stark reality is that any continuation of such a state of Taliban perseverance will not be possible without ongoing financial aid.
It has been reported and it has been found that the militants, especially groups which are their leadership, they have no dearth of dollars. They have so much dollars with them. And if we had so many dollars, we would not have been begging other countries to help us to fight the war and all. Of course, America has helped in kind by providing weapons and aircrafts and helicopters and such things which are required to fight against militancy. But I think they have, in the past years, they have changed their policy. They would rather not give out this type of assistance, financial assistance directly.
And this is the last time Haydar Majid can see his nephew Bilal. 40 days ago, Bilal was killed in a confrontation between Pakistan and the Taliban.
Shaheed, Captain Bilal, he's my nephew. He's son of my sister. He's a very small boy. He's grown up with us, but very fond of joining the army. And once he was in the army, he was fond of becoming commando. So that is what I know. He's been very tough, very, very energetic, and very, very honest in his profession. And he always wanted to die fighting for his country. Today we are here actually on the occasion of Chelam, that is 40 days after the death of Captain Bilal, who was Shaheed in Swat, fighting with the militants. So this is, it is recitation of Holy Quran and then a joint prayer for the Shaheed. So this is part of this. They all come to the grave, lay down the flowers and wreaths, and then they collect at one place, offer prayers, and then disperse. This is a religious function. This is just a name, Taliban. Actually, they are all miscreants and lawless people. And they had taken control of Swat and also surrounding areas. So this army had to, it was requested by the government to take action and fight them, because they are all militants having weapons, killing people for misplayer for no cause. So these, they were requested by the government to take against action against them. And that they are doing. They have gone to Swat, they have gone to Dir and Waziristan, and to flush out these anti-state elements.
Majid is very sad. He feels responsible for Bilal's death. He thinks to himself that if he had never entered into the armed forces, his nephew would not have shown such interest in joining the army either. But Bilal had joined the army at a very young age and had become a well-trained commando. His dream was to be able to die while serving his country. And today, his dream has come true.